Our goal in this time is not that we just go through a textbook class, right? We want to go through this together and we want to apply it to our lives. So that's why at the beginning of each lesson, we've been taking a moment just to say, all right, what happened this week? How did you apply that truth to your life? And what did it do in your heart? There was one other aspect of faith, and really it's going to flow into today's lesson, and that is that on your sheet, I put faith is incompatible with works. And in an effort to have an outline that was parallel, you know, like so it all fit together, faith is this, faith involves this, faith is incompatible with this, it's a little bit too simplistic of an idea, right? So we said that faith is incompatible with works. Really, that's just saving faith. Saving faith is incompatible with works that merit us anything before God. But it's not that faith and works are incompatible. Because we know that if we exercise faith in Christ, that genuineness of our faith is evidenced by works, right? To the point that James says that faith without works is dead. So it's not that they're incompatible. Just, I'll have to apologize for that. I was trying to get a parallel outline. But we could go back to our study in Galatians and we can pull that up in our mind about how faith, genuine faith, leads us to salvation, and then out of salvation, we do works. It's evidence of the fact that we have genuine salvation. So as we continue in this path through 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, we're really honing in on where gospel growth starts. And it all starts with faith. To the point that Peter says, he says, make every effort to supplement the faith that you already have with these things. So we have to figure out what that faith is. We have to figure out what that means for us. And we have to figure out how we can live in that faith. To the point that we add to our faith virtue. And we add to our virtue knowledge. And when we never leave it behind, we keep walking in it by God's grace. So last week was really just defining faith, right? We looked at the nature of faith and we showed you the door, okay? We defined the door. We said, this is what it means to step out in faith. It's not blind. Remember we talked about that? It's not this blind step. It's actually built on who God is and what he said in his word. So it's not a blind faith. But really all of last week was just this, okay, there it is. That's faith. There it is. And the moment that you begin to exercise that faith, something happens in your heart. So if you do believe, if you do have that hopeful confidence in who God is, what he said in his word, there are things that actually happen. Now, some people would say that the moment that that happens in your life is the moment that your real mind just shuts off. So Christopher Hitchens, I was looking at a lot of quotes and I found this one. Christopher Hitchens would say that the moment that you exercise faith is really the end. It's the end of all life. It's the end of all hope of reason. And he says this, faith is the surrender of the mind. It's the surrender of the only thing that makes us different from other mammals. It's our need to believe and to surrender our skepticism and our reason, our yearning to discard that, and put all our trust or faith in someone or something. That is the most sinister thing to me. Of all the supposed virtues, faith must be the most overrated. And I'll give you a hint. That's not the basis of our message today, okay? Just in case you're wondering. But that's what many believe, don't they? The moment you exercise faith is the moment that you just have to turn your brain off and you just have to follow your heart, baby. It's Pocahontas. Wherever the wind blows, that's where we go. And really, that's not biblical faith. Because biblical faith is built on evidence that we respond to, and the moment we respond to that, it's not the end. It's not the end. It's actually the beginning. Because there are incredible results to faith. It's not that as we walk through that door, we find on the other side a brick wall and all of our dreams and hopes are over. We just live this stagnant life until heaven. It is that it opens up for this way of living where there are incredible results. There are results to faith. And actually, Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 is going to show us those results. Have you ever wondered what happens when you believe? What do you get? you walk through that door, and I put those pictures up there just as a reminder that there is something on the other side of faith. You don't just believe and then wait till heaven. You don't just believe and then that's it, and then you just kind of muddle through this world, and then it's over. There are incredible results. So that's our gospel growth point this morning, and that is that how faith results in gospel growth. Because really, the results of faith are that we have at our disposal everything we need for gospel growth. So what are the results? We're going to look at three of them. Now, the rest of the New Testament has hundreds of results of faith. Can you just throw out some of the results of faith that we know of? What is it? Some people are saying them. What is it? Peace. Okay, if we have faith, we have peace. Like, just at the basic level, we believe we are saved, we're justified, we're redeemed, we're adopted. Okay, we're going to look at those throughout the rest of gospel growth. Really, right now, all we're going to zero in on is what results do we have when it comes to our gospel growth, our spiritual growth when we believe? What is there? And that's what we're going to look at this morning. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at even just the beginning of the chapter. So Peter is opening up his letter. How does he open it up? Here's how he opens it up. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Who is he writing to? He's writing to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So to those people who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours, in other words, you've got the same faith that I've got, Peter says. That sounds awesome, doesn't it? I don't know if you remember Peter. Okay. That guy saw some amazing things. Transfiguration. Okay. Heaven opened. Here's the voice of God. Yeah, amazing stuff. That kind of faith allows us then, verse 2, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So what are the results of faith? Would you pray with me that God would help you to understand what is yours and then your responsibility to what you have in Christ? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us today. We long to see Christ. We know who he is. We've seen glimpses. Lord, we long to know him more. We long to grow in our knowledge of Christ. We long for that grace and peace to be multiplied to us in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. We long for that. So help us to see it today. Help us to see what is ours in Christ. Lord, I pray for our gospel growth today that you would work in our hearts. We need it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what are these results of faith? The first one you can see on your sheet is that we are partakers of the divine nature. That is a result. And Peter's going to give us three results in our text today, and they all correspond to our gospel growth, right? So the first thing is we are partakers of the divine nature. Look down at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4. It tells us that we may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So we have this idea where we are partakers of the divine nature. What does that mean? Does it mean that we can become God or a God or get a little bit of God in us? So we weren't as much God, but now we're more God, and so we've got more. Is that how it works? No, let's kind of walk through this. Your first blank on your sheet is this, that faith allows us to share in the nature, but not just any nature. It's the moral nature of God. So we are partakers, sharers in the moral nature of God. Not to become God, okay? If you were hoping that that was what I was going to say, you're like, man, I really could use a little bit of that, okay? That is not Peter's hope today, okay? He's not going to tell you, if you just understand this, then man, you'll get it. Like, you'll create things, you will never be late again. You won't even really have to sleep, so it's going to be wonderful. You get a lot more done. It's not what he's saying at all, okay? He's simply saying that there's this incredible thing that happens, and that is that the nature of God can be realized in your heart by faith. Let's talk about what that means. First thing you have to understand is that beginning in gospel growth, like your start, your natural bent in gospel growth, is not that you are an undiscovered raw talent that God starts looking throughout the earth to find. And so he's on this like scouting hunt to find people that he can make a little bit more like him. Okay? That's not who we are. Okay? We are not like students in class that just need a little bit of extra attention. Right? You know those students, right? Just need a little bit of attention. You put that in quotes. Never know what exactly attention means. Just need a little bit more of attention and then they'll just blossom. That is not us. Okay? We do not have potential when it comes to gospel growth. Okay? Naturally, you need to see yourself more like a pig. Okay? You need to see yourself more like a pig. And the saying goes that you could take the pig out of the mud, but you can't take the mud out of the pig, right? There is no potential for us to just be like, you know what, today I really want to grow. I mean, I want to become more like God. I want that, and I can find the way to do it because I've got the potential in me to do it. Now, see yourself like this pig back here, and I love that picture. I mean, let's just like zoom in up close because that is you. Good news, everybody, right? Good news. Because you will not wander into righteousness. You will always wander back, left to yourself, to your own sin. You will always wallow in the mud, just like a pig. You can clean up a pig the minute you clean it up. I'm just assuming because I hear, okay? I am not a farmer, again. But they just go back to the mud. They're always muddy. That's all I know. I haven't seen many pictures of clean pigs. It's just the way they go. They're just nasty. And I'm not just making this up. This is biblical, okay? So Ephesians chapter 2 tells us this. It says, and you were dead. This is no potential for gospel growth, right? You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work and the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. You see this? We just go back. We go back. And there's our word nature. We were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So what do we really need? We need a new nature. And faith gives us that new nature. Faith in the promises of God specifically. If you've got 2 Peter open, look at verse 4. How do we become partakers? Well, we can start in verse 3. His divine power has granted to us these things. Verse 4, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. So that through them, through what? You tell me. You're reading your Bible. Through what do we become partakers of the divine nature? Through the promises that he's made. So how does that work? How on earth do promises become realized? You believe them, right? So if I'm going to promise something to you, what do? You believe me. Or you're like, no way, dude. No way, you can't. You just promised me a new car. I do not believe you. If I promise you a car. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. No, with promises, we believe them, right? So God has made these promises to us that specifically in the gospel, we can become like Christ. So Ephesians, it goes on in chapter 4, says that incredible radical change happens when we exercise faith. That is not the way you learned Christ. And listen to this language, almost like what we talked about with faith. Assuming that you have heard about him, were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off, there's our repentance, your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on, here's our new nature, the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So faith then allows us to share in the likeness of Christ. Christ lived out everything that our nature was made to do. So we got this guy, his name is Adam. He's in the garden. He's made exactly the way God wants him to be. But something happens, right? He sins. messes up big time. And for the rest of time, until another comes, every man born struggles. Their nature is messed up. Jesus comes, what does he do? He lives out perfectly the nature of God. He is the exact imprint of the nature of God. Perfectly, to the point that then when he dies, raises again, and offers that gift to us, we can be created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. That is good news, isn't it? Very, very good news. So then faith is not, it's not signing up for a class where we just learn how to do better, is it? Faith is entering into something that can radically change us, our very nature. We no longer have to be the pig. I should say it that way. We no longer have to be the pig that wallows back to the mud. We still have that old nature there, but there is also a new nature in us that's working. And that is that we would choose righteousness, that we would live like Christ, that we would be made more and more like him the more that we obey. I mean, let's just look at this, just a review. So we can become partakers of the divine nature. How does it come? It comes by faith in the promises. He granted to us his precious and very great promises, and we can become partakers. And that all becomes a reality through his divine power that he gives it to us. So that's the first thing we have to know about what it means to be a partaker of the divine nature. So faith gives us that. It offers that to us. The second thing is this. It is that faith allows us to live and grow in the righteousness of God. It makes growth possible. Okay? So the pig will always be a pig, right? The pig will, it's just always going to go back to, it's going to go back to the slop. That's just the way it goes. I mean, you can give that pig all kinds of lessons and try and reform him. You know, pig's unanimous, whatever. You can stick him in that class and try and get everything fixed up, but he's always just going to go back to it, unless the nature changes. What faith does is it gives us the nature of God. It's almost like the soil of our heart has been changed. So, you guys get a new farm, right? I'm so excited. You guys are all going to get new farms today. And we're all going to be able to start our own little farm. We can grow whatever you want. If you want to grow potatoes or apples, oranges, you can start a vineyard, you can grow some grapes, whatever you want to do. You're going to get some land. You get the address for where the land is. You're all going to go and check out your land. And you walk to show up to this farm, and here is your farmland. You're like, now you can look at that and you can be like, wow, potential. But no, okay, no. No, that is not potential. And you look at it and you're like, man. But if only the land was cleared. I mean, that's a road. People are driving through it. You know what? You get another address. Okay, you could grow something here. Here's another place to go and grow. The land is all cleared, ready to go for you. You're all set, right? Growth is not possible there, is it? Ain't nothing growing there. That, by the way, is oil pollution. And if you are like a tree hugger, you are just grating inside. Okay? That's the picture of our heart before this new nature comes. You can have all the seeds, you can have all the ideas, you can all have all the energy, all the hope you want, but until you have that new nature that is given as we believe in Christ, we will not grow. And the moment that happens, the moment you exercise faith, you are given soil to grow in. Growth becomes possible. And that's what it means to be a partaker of the divine nature. Ephesians chapter 2 again says this. It says, by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship. And look at this new nature. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Do you see that? Partakers of the divine nature. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And do you see, for this very reason then, how the rest of our Christian life grows out of that? You see this? Like, growth is possible. So for that very reason, because you have partaken in the divine nature, you share in the Spirit of God. Because of that, make every effort to add to your faith then. See how gospel growth is possible now? So what are the results of faith? One of the results is that we have this new nature. It's it's completely different to the point that growth is possible. And in that moment, you begin to see the incredible gift that God gave us in Christ, don't you? Oh, praise the Lord for the gospel. And we are instantly humbled and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because apart from you, I have no hope. Go back to the pig. Go back to that nasty soil. That's us. But in Christ, we were created for good works. Love that. So that's the first result. The second result is that there's provision for life and godliness. Provision for life and godliness. Let's talk about what this means. So faith then, it really gives us this opportunity to have everything we need for life and godliness. Look at verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. So what we see is we have provision. There's provided for us everything we need for life and godliness. So it's not just that we get changed in our nature and then we have to live in our own strength the rest of the time. Okay? Peter's very clear that gospel growth is really not left to chance. Okay? It's like God has set up everything around us so that gospel growth can and should occur. He gives us a new nature and he gives us everything we need to grow. Because if it was left up to us, we all know where we'd be, right? We would be in the slop. And everybody's going to want bacon after this morning, okay? Like, that mud sure makes some really good meat. Yeah. But that's what we'd all be. We'd all be in the slop and the slime. So what does it mean that we have provision for life and godliness? Well, faith then connects us, this is your blank, to an inexhaustible supply of life in the knowledge of Christ. So faith connects us to an inexhaustible supply of life in the knowledge of Christ. So would you just for a second, would you just meditate on verse 3? He has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything you need for life and godliness. He has given you everything you need. Now, every single one of us in this room has limitations in some area of our life, don't we? Okay? I mean, some of us, we can work out all we want, and we really won't ever get huge. Okay? I mean, like, for instance, like Lucas could work out, like, for years and years. He'd go to the gym every day for years, and he still would not be able to beat me at wrestling. Okay? It's just not going to happen. Because, I mean, there's just limitations, right? Okay? And I could study all of my life, and I'm never going to be able to just spout out some of the things that Lucas spouts out naturally, right? So we all understand limitations, and we look around, and we're like, I've got limitations. I've got limitations. I've got limitations. Do you know what Peter says? Spiritually, you have absolutely no limitations. There is not a single limitation for you. You have everything you need to grow. So that means that there is no reason that you cannot be the godliest person ever. There's no reason because you have all things that pertain to life and godliness. That is incredible, incredible news. So Peter says it this way, grace and peace can be multiplied to you, exponentially multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. We are to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John 17, this is eternal life. Eternal life, eternal, everlasting, infinite, eternal, all things that pertain to life and godliness, life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. John chapter 1, for from Jesus' fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The incredible news is that if we believe, if we exercise faith, if we have hopeful confidence in who God is and what he's said, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. And the storehouse of what it takes to grow is opened up before you. And you're taking a tour of it, your Christian life. You're looking around and saying, that is available to me? I have all things. That is available to me? Yes, that is available to you. All power, infinite power. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. There are no limitations on that. It's all available to you. How many of you say, you know what, that's pretty good news? That's great news. That's the gospel. And it's beautiful. So look at the storehouse that is yours in Christ. Look at it. See, before faith came, you looked at the knowledge of Christ this way. It's just a warehouse. I mean, like, what is that going to do for me? Before faith, before you entered in, Christ was just, well, I mean, it looks great, but I don't know. I don't really get it, right? It's kind of foggy. It's foolish, right? You look at it and you say, I don't even know. I mean, what is that? But after faith, God tells me that inside that warehouse, there's good news in there. God tells me that there's incredible power inside that warehouse. God tells me that there's all things that pertain to life and godliness inside that warehouse. If I just believe, if I repent of what hinders full faith in Christ and I embrace everything that he said in his word, and we walk in and the warehouse is available to us. So there's no limitations. Faith connects us to an inexhaustible supply of life in the knowledge of Christ. And your second blank, and we'll finish with this, is that faith accesses that inexhaustible supply for growth in godliness. So there's your blank. Faith accesses that inexhaustible supply for growth in godliness. It accesses it. So if it opens the door to the warehouse, then the continued Christian life is us believing that and accessing it. So yes, I believe that God says I have all things for life and godliness. I'm going to access it. So let's talk about what it means to access it. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. What does it mean to access that life and godliness? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us exactly how we access it. So Peter said that grace and peace would be multiplied to us in what? How does grace and peace be multiplied in our hearts? Through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. A couple verses later, he says that it's been granted to us, according to his divine power, all things that pertain to life and godliness through what? Through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Okay, so there's something about this knowledge of Christ that accesses this storehouse of growth. Faith accesses that inaccessible supply for growth in godliness, and it comes through the knowledge of Christ. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we go back to that warehouse. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the end of the chapter, let's see, it's going to be in verse number 16, verse 16. When one exercises faith in Christ, they turn to the Lord. So verse 16 says, but when one turns to the Lord, that sounds like repentance, right? It's repentance and faith. You are turning from this life of thinking that Christ is nothing, or thinking that specifically in this text, that the law can somehow make us pleasing to God by keeping the law on our own. So for us to turn from that way of thinking, that God is inaccessible, I can only get to God by keeping the law, when we turn from that, something happens. What does it say happens? For the one who turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Verse 17, now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So what happens? When one turns to the Lord, that drab warehouse is opened up. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What is the freedom to do? The freedom is to see God. The freedom is that we can actually gaze upon the greatness and the glory of God. Because through the greatness and glory of God, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Christ. So then, what happens as we look on how great God is in the face of Jesus Christ. Look at the Bible. Look at the Bible. Verse 18. We all with unveiled face. Okay, so we can see him clearly in all his glory, beholding the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So what does it mean to grow then? To grow, we are simply looking at who Christ is, and we're seeing that that nature is available to us in the gospel. Right? So connect this back up to the fact that we're partakers of the divine nature. It's to look at Christ and see that love is available to me. We gaze on his love being played out in the world. We love because God has loved us, and that love begins to be awakened in our hearts. We are transformed into selfish people, into people who are lovers of others. We see God being truth. The Bible tells us that he came and he's full of grace and truth. We see him being truth. We look at Christ. We examine who he is throughout the Gospels, and we see him being truth incarnate. And as we look at him, wow, that's truth. Wow. It is realized and awakened in our hearts, and we can be true ourselves. That is the transforming power of the knowledge of Christ. And it is accessed by faith. It's accessed by faith. Why? Because we turn to the Lord. Right? Because faith and repentance are so connected. So we constantly are turning to the Lord. The veil is removed, and we are able to then see all the glories that are available in Christ. We see how he, with endurance, walked through the world, and we watch him standing up to Satan. You say, man, I was really tempted this week. You were not tempted like Jesus was tempted. When's the last time that Satan showed up? Okay? No. So we look to Christ, we see him beating Satan with the word, and we say, Lord, would you do that in me? I believe that that's possible because of the divine nature, so help me. And we then obey. So we see love in Christ. That love begins to work out in our heart, and we then love. We have to obey. Right? We see truth worked out in Christ. He's truth incarnate. We begin to be worked into truth in our inner being, and then we obey and we tell the truth. We become tellers of the truth. This is gospel growth. Do you see it? You see it? Faith takes us from seeing that drab warehouse. Man, my Christian life is just nothing. Really? Have you gone into the warehouse? I mean, really? Have you really gone in? Have you pulled away anything that has hindered faith in Christ? To the point that you could say, that is available to me? Man, I'm not growing. I don't know. The Christian life just seems like it's just kind of a blah. Nothing's happening in my life. Really? I mean, have you gone into the warehouse? Because God says there's actually no limitations for life and godliness through the knowledge of Christ. So, I mean, I guess, do you know Christ? Do you know him? Do you see him? Because when you see him, you cannot help but be changed. So I wonder, which side of the warehouse are you on in your Christian life? Faith is what connects us to Christ, but then it accesses Christ over and over and over and over again, and that is gospel growth. To the point that we start to understand why Peter said, your growth happens this way. Make every effort to supplement that faith. Supplement that infinite well that is yours in Christ, the warehouse. Supplement that with virtue. Supplement that virtue with knowledge. Supplement that knowledge with self-control. And you walk down the list. You see why faith is such a big deal, don't you? And those are the results of faith. Those are the results of faith. That we are partakers of the divine nature. And then that we have this incredible provision for life and godliness. So this week, here's my challenge. Here's how we can apply this. I want you to access that provision for life and godliness by looking at Christ. Okay, we've got all these other things that we do in our devotions. We check off lists. We look at study notes. We do all these other things. Would you this week, would you access that provision for life and godliness? go into the warehouse that is the knowledge of Christ and just meditate on it. If you're in the Old Testament, think about how the Old Testament is preparing people to look for the Messiah and see that Christ kept all of those promises in himself. All the promises of God find their yes and amen in Christ. This week, access that provision for life and godliness that can be found in Christ. And then respond to what's being changed in you. That is gospel growth, right? We see who Christ is. That nature begins to be realized in us, and we obey. And that's gospel growth. So let's do that. I'll ask you at the beginning of next week how you did at accessing the warehouse, or if you were just looking at the outside. I mean, what do I do today? I mean, I guess I just don't sin. That sounds fun. The rest of your life, just don't sin. That is not the whole of the Christian life, y'all. The whole of the Christian life is that we are partakers of the divine nature, and we can be made like Christ, and we can share in his glory and excellence. What incredible news.